Hello, it's George from Ireland. So the news came in just today that Iran fired lots of drones at Israel, and Israel shot down almost always at 300 and so drones and missiles which were launched by Iran overnight. So it's done minimal damage to the state of Israel. So Israel said that they will counter-strike at the propitious moment. So only a small of them even sort of made it onto to Israeli territory. So the United States helped. And the United States, they shot down some of these drones, partly because the US Navy's in the region. And there are even small US military bases in Israel, have been for decades. The US has found a useful staging post, certainly to store munitions there in case they're needed in the region. And Israel has done that, partly it has allowed that, partly to get the US more interested in Israel, in its security, and to view, it is a useful ally. So you'd have US presidents over the decades queuing up to say, oh, we have no stauncher friend than Israel, we'll do anything for them. And in a loyalty contest to do more for Israel than anybody else. The United States has wielded its veto in the United Nations Security Council more than any other permanent member, and wielded it in favor of Israel more than favor itself. It's staggering, despite the fact Israel does almost nothing for the USA. And then the British position on this is perhaps even more puzzling. Not that the United Kingdom should be hostile to Israel, which doesn't take action against the UK, but what has Israel ever done for the United Kingdom? I mean, there's not a major trade partner, it's not a military ally, it's not been particularly helpful in any way, it's not been terribly oppositional either. And there has been some intelligence sharing, but that's strictly transactional. The intelligence agencies of both countries giving each other useful information, tip-offs, and so on. But the United Kingdom's also got to think about its reputation amongst the Muslim world, where Israel's name is mud. Used to be even worse. This Gaza war has made it really bad. Israel had built bridges, had achieved some reconciliation with some Muslim countries over the past few years, establishing diplomatic relations with a few more, like the United Arab Emirates. But really, killing so many thousands of civilians in Gaza has wrecked all that patient diplomatic work. And it's stunning that actually these countries haven't broken off diplomatic relations with Israel over that. So Iran says we believe in Muslim solidarity. Iran's, of course, 90% Shia Muslim, the rest Sunni. There's a tiny Christian minority and indeed a minuscule Jewish minority. And the Israeli government's very keen to showcase this, have people fill the synagogue. The Jewish community is guaranteed representation in the majlis and so on condition the Iranian Jewish community regularly denounces Israel as a sham, as a Zionist entity, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the Iranian government can say, we're not anti-Sunni. We're helping the Palestinians, 95% of whom are Sunni. The rest are Christian. There are virtually no Palestinians who are Shia Muslims. So the Hezbollah, the Party of God in Lebanon, is the Iranian-backed militia there, and they're Shia. Likewise, the Iranians have been fighting to preserve the Assad regime in Syria, successfully fighting. Assad being a secular Muslim, a secular Shia Muslim, the Alawi branch of Shia Islam. So why do they do it now? The timing is the fascinating thing, because on the 7th of October, Israel faced a real security crisis. And if Hezbollah and the Iranians attacked then, Israel would have been in danger of being overwhelmed. I don't think the whole country would have been conquered, but we've been fighting like three fronts, and might at that point have had to decide to sue for peace, to make concessions, give some land, pay some compensation, something, withdraw from the Golan Heights. I don't know. But because they've been able to largely annihilate Hamas, they're in a stronger position to fend off the Iranians right now. Now, with the Iranians, did it maybe because they thought Joe Biden wouldn't take Israel's side? But note the day before he said, cast iron guarantees we'll do anything to save Israel. Because in the United States, you'll often have to be a goody-goody Zionist, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And Netanyahu administration's crimes in Gaza was so egregious, even President Biden, who for decades has advocated anything Israel has done, found himself resiling from the massacre of civilians. Even he blanched to what was being done. The starvation of over 2 million Palestinians in Gaza was coming up. That now food aid has been brought largely by the United States. Even Israel's been shamed into allowing more food convoys. Now, not all Israelis are bad, far from it. And there are many morally courageous Israelis who said, come on, human rights of Palestinians, Judaism is all about the sanctity of human life, and we cannot be killing all these civilians, and we must not be cutting off food aid, medicines, drinking water, and so on. So Netanyahu has had to backpedal, and my goodness, it's been going about 6 months, this war. He says he shan't rest until every last member of Hamas is dead. But if that were the case, he'd have to bomb Qatar. Is he going to do that? A country with which he's got diplomatic relations, because of course, that's really the HQ of Hamas. And the funding comes from the Qatari government, which has got fairly good relations with Western countries. So it's all very nebulous. So yeah, no doubt Israel will strike back at Iran. Of course, Israel and Iran don't have a common border. In between, there's Jordan and Iraq. So there could be air raids, missiles fired, because the Israeli Navy get all the way around to the Arabian Gulf, fire things from there. There's a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran in Yemen, the Houthi rebels being the Shia minority, and the Saudis have been fighting them for years to back up the Yemeni Sunni majority. And there had been some conciliation between Riyadh and Tel Aviv in recent years. Would Saudi Arabia even recognize the Jewish state? Well, any chance that's been scuppered now by what Netanyahu's been doing to the Palestinians in Gaza. So, you know, Mohammed bin Salman cannot be seen to be kissing and making up with Israel after what they've done to their fellow Arabs and indeed Sunni Muslims. So that's why the timing was. Probably they thought maybe that Biden wouldn't respond that strongly. It's obviously a gift to the Trump campaign. He's going to be even worse for Iran because they, oh, you see, he's so feeble, sleepy Joe. He's not tough like me. I would do anything, absolutely anything. I don't care about international law. I do not care about human rights. As for our ally, I will commit any crime. That's his attitude, Trump's attitude, supposedly tough. What's really tough is to uphold international law, to actually be merciful, to fight, but within a certain ethical limits. When people are saying that you're a wimp, if you've got any common humanity, if you recognize the Palestinians as humans at all. Now, the United Kingdom getting involved in this, I mean, it's bizarre in a way. Conservative Party, well, the Conservative Friends of Israel is very influential within the party. I believe I'm right in saying that most Conservative MPs are members of it. And if you do, you get flown business class to Israel, put up in a 5-star hotel, taken on tours to see everything the Israeli government would like you to see, hoping that this will make you sympathetic to them and largely successful. But having said that, if you join Conservative Friends of Israel, you tend to be Zionist anyway. And there is a Labour Friends of Israel, but it's much, much smaller. There's even a Lib Dem one and so on. No other government disperses quite so much money on these junkets. Now, admittedly, most Conservative MPs are multimillionaires, could easily afford it themselves, but they're quite pinch penny, and they certainly don't object to someone else picking up the tab. Well, we shall see. So I think that the UK should not have got involved. The Republic of Ireland, happily, we won't get involved. Partly we've got a tiny military, it's very far away, and we know our size, we're sort of puny militarily. The United Kingdom, obviously, is not tiny militarily, but it's much weaker than it used to be. It's crazy to get involved. It's actually just not Britain's problem. The UK has enough problems of its own. Why not sit this one out for a change? You know, Israel can look after itself, and what's Israel going to do in exchange? Why provoke the Iranians? Are people saying, if you're going to do this for Israel, who's not an ally, why do you do it for Ukraine? The United Kingdom signed the Budapest Memorandum guaranteeing Ukrainian security, not to fight, but at least arm them, fund them, provide intelligence, maybe even shoot down these missiles. Does that make you a participant to the conflict? The Iranians may say that it does, and they may strike back at the UK. Why should Britain stick its neck out in favor of Israel when Israel's doing nothing in exchange? No, sit this one out. I mean, I'm not a pacifist. It's not as though the Israeli government has never done anything wrong to its neighbors, still illegally occupying a bit of Lebanon, still illegally occupying the Golan Heights in Syria. You might say, well, there are reasons for that, and maybe that's true. But Israel does bear some responsibility for this. All these illegal settlements in the West Bank for decades. Palestinians often very badly treated. We've seen there's been a fairly wide-scale use of torture. And if this is what the Israeli Defense Force are doing on camera, knowing it's going to be shown, what on earth do they do off camera? Yeah? Or I'm not saying that every allegation is true or that every Israeli soldier is bad. There have been a few I was proud to call friends. And I'm not disputing that Hamas killed hundreds of Israeli civilians on purpose on the 7th of October. That is murder and is taking people hostages and so on. But, I can't say that one side is entirely pure and the other one's entirely evil. It's not like that in virtually any conflict. So the UK should stay out. It just doesn't have the numbers. It doesn't have the capability. And there's a possibility of being dragged into the war when the military has got this recruitment crisis, has just got very little equipment, has been underspending, is saying, ooh, we'll raise military spending when the economy will allow it. You need to do it now. Russia's attacking Ukraine now. And if they get through Ukraine this year, as they might do, they won't stop there. We know that. Anyway, it's just madness of the United Kingdom to be piling into this Middle Eastern conflict. Have we learned nothing? I mean, I supported the liberation of Iraq. I supported the liberation of Afghanistan. But these are quite different situations. And those were not entirely successful. And the UK military was far larger in those days than it is today. Anyway, stay out. Right. Thank you for watching. Goodbye, everyone. Please subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Toodaloo.